Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Somewhere off the coast, a naval sonar operator watches a mysterious object silently descend into the ocean at a speed that should not be possible for anything built by human hands. The object also doesn't make a splash, just silently drops and vanishes into the black, deep water. There have been thousands of reports like this around the world for many, many years. Objects coming in and out of the water, vanishing beneath the waves and reappearing miles away. And they seem to be completely unbothered by pressures that would crush a submarine like a Coke can. Stories have been told through the handwritten logs of old sailors, massive glowing lights shimmering beneath the ocean's surface. Military pilots around the world have reported objects plunging into the sea and never resurfacing. And today you can watch footage capturing these objects over the years. The Pentagon has no explanation, and has even gone on record saying no comment. So what are these objects? What are they doing? And what do they want? What does it all mean? Is it possible what we've thought about alien travel has been wrong all along? Today's perplexing episode is all about the dark mysteries of underwater aliens. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity and Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode all about underwater aliens, also known as USOs, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, and welcome back. I'm happy you're here today. This is going to be, I think, a super interesting episode. I hope you enjoy it, and I'm curious what you guys think. I've been wanting to delve into this for a while. We've covered aliens on this show before, but we've never done an episode about them being underneath the water. So I found all of this really, really fascinating to learn about. So as always, let me know what you guys are thinking. I also just very quickly wanted to say thank you and shout out Ftihi. I hope I'm saying that right. Thank you so much for supporting the show and buying a coffee. If you guys would like to support the show through the Buy Me a Coffee link or any other support like the Patreon, all of those links are always in the descriptions of the YouTube video and in the episode descriptions for the podcast. And that's much appreciated because that is what keeps the show going. So thank you so much, Ftihi, for doing that. All of the sources used for today's episode will be down in the show notes. So without further ado, let's dive right in to today's episode all about underwater aliens. There are thousands of cases where people report seeing UFOs, several of which we have talked about on this podcast. But what if I told you there are also thousands of cases all around the world of objects coming in and out of the water that are capable of moving seamlessly between space, the sky, and the sea? According to Soviet naval intelligence, more than half of UFO sighting reports have come from the water. These cases have become known as USOs, unidentified submerged objects. 70% of the Earth is made up of water, and we've explored only about 5%. So I would say there is a high probability there are a lot of things in our oceans that we don't know about. So if there are truly aliens in the water, this brings up so many questions. Did they live there? How long have they been there? How are they getting around? What are they doing? What do they want? You get the idea. I could go on and on and on. Since August of 2025, according to Marine Technology News, a UFO recording app has recorded more than 9,000 sightings close to U.S. coastlines. In 150 of these reports, objects were seen coming in and going out of the water. So let's get into some more specific sightings from all around the world. Throughout this episode, I'm also going to be showing several video clips and pictures. If you are able to see those, I would encourage you to. They're going to be in the Spotify and the YouTube video. They'll also be on the Instagram page. If you're not able to see them, I will describe them as best as I can for you. In October of 2017, a new UFO sighting swept the nation. And this was like nothing anyone had ever seen. A 32-second video was released showing an unknown object traveling over an American military base in Iraq. This video was recorded by military pilots and was later released by Jeremy Corbell in 2024, an investigative filmmaker focusing on UFO cases. So I'm going to play this video and I will describe it for you. This video was uploaded by the YouTube channel Media Magic Management and it's titled Full Uncut Tracking Video of the Infamous Jellyfish UAP over Iraq. In the video, you can see a mysterious object gliding perfectly linear across this military base. The video is in black and white, so I can't describe a lot of the physical characteristics of this UFO, but it does look like a jellyfish, hence the name. It appears to be maybe metallic. It moves similarly to a drone, and from what I could tell, I could be wrong, but looking at the footage, it's almost like this thing is able to change its visibility. As it's gliding through the base, it goes from this solid black mass to being nearly invisible. You can like see the outline of it and that's it. It's really creepy and strange. So the original footage of this American military base sighting was actually over 30 minutes long, allegedly. This is according to Jeremy Corbell and some of his sources, but not all of the footage has been released to the public. This same object was also spotted flying over the Atlantic Ocean. According to an anonymous source who spoke with investigators George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell, quote, "After about 20 minutes of it going through the most sensitive parts of the base, it just stops dead in its tracks and drops into the lake, stiff. No thermal signature change. It just goes in. It doesn't splash because in our system, you can see every single detail. After 17 minutes, the object ascended from the water. It paused, then shot off at an extremely rapid rate of speed." This source also verified the footage is 100% authentic, and the vast majority of the footage was also apparently immediately confiscated after the event. This source says that it was taken by the authorities under armed guard. Sue Goh, a spokesperson for the Pentagon, said in a statement at the time that they do not comment on the authenticity of alleged DOD, Department of Defense, material that may have been leaked. End quote. This sighting is mentioned in the heavily redacted report, Unresolved UAP Report, Atlantic Ocean 2020. This report was submitted by the United States Northern Command. The report noted the UAP was a darker maroonish color, approximately 12 to 15 feet in height and traveling with the wind. According to the document, the unidentified flying object did not maneuver or change direction. The jellyfish UFO has been compared to an earlier series of sightings in 2004. This has become known as the Tic Tac incident. On November 14, 2004, Commander David Fravor, a pilot and commander of the Black Aces, encountered a strange, unidentified object in the sky shaped like a Tic Tac. He was leading the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group. They were investigating strange radar activity off the coast of Southern California. One of Fravor's operators had been tracking unusual aircraft activity for 2 weeks prior to this incident. So the crew had been seeing strange things for quite a while, and they were already on high alert when this would occur. The second video I'm going to play for you guys, I was able to find from the Guardian News YouTube channel. It's titled Pentagon Officially Releases UFO Videos. In this video, you can pretty clearly see a small disc-shaped object through the POV of a pilot's plane technology, whatever you call those cameras that they use. And in the last 5 seconds of the video, it starts to rotate in the opposite direction. So I'm going to play it for you guys so that you can hear the audio, because you can hear these pilots pretty clearly freaking out and not really able to make any sense of what they're seeing.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh
my gosh.
They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west.
The whole thing, dude.
That's not our LNS though, is it?
It's not. That is the LNS, dude.
Well, if there's like...
Look at that thing!
It's rotating.
So according to the operator who captured this footage, this mysterious aircraft would appear at 80,000 feet, or 24,000 meters, before descending rapidly toward the sea and stopping at 20,000 feet, 6,100 meters, and just hovering there. Fravor also saw this object for himself, and he described it as being white and oval, hovering above the ocean, and it was about 40 feet long. So a total of 4 people at this time ended up seeing this object, and they said the sighting lasted for about 5 minutes. The object went from zero speed to easily matching their plane's speed. It also seemed intelligent. Fravor and his men continued to see multiples of this same object coming down and shooting into the water for a period of several more weeks. A second wave of fighters then investigated, and this time they were equipped with advanced infrared cameras. They would record video and coin the description Tic Tac. Additional Navy personnel would also later corroborate all of these sightings and reported that they had tracked similar unidentified objects for about a week.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Our next set of sightings takes us to California. There have been tons of sightings of UFOs all throughout California, but what we're particularly going to be focusing on in this episode is the Southern California region and this insanely high number of USO reports. Rory Kremer, an underwater archaeologist, once worked for the Department of Defense, or DOD, for many years. Rory has been studying many anomalies along the Southern California coast. Many of these incidents have been reported by the Navy. In about 2016, Rory became interested in UFOs and USOs after he had an experience. He was sailing from Hawaii to the mainland, and he was about 1,600 miles off the coast. He said it was a beautiful, clear, and dark night, when all of a sudden, the water underneath him started getting bright as daylight. The light kept getting brighter and brighter, when an orb-like object suddenly came out of the water and just stopped and floated for a couple of seconds. The object then shot off suddenly in a different direction. He didn't share his story publicly at the time because he was still working on projects for the DOD. It was after this encounter that Rory started looking into available DOD records. He found captains crossing the Pacific had reported similar sightings all throughout the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and World War II. This area also still has a heavy military presence today, leaving people wondering what these soldiers are looking for, or what are they guarding. A couple years after Rory had this USO experience, he teamed up with George Knapp, a television journalist, to do some investigating. Rory headed to the California coast and the Channel Islands, while George headed to Mexico, which we'll talk about later. One area that Rory focused on with a small crew is known as Painted Cave. There have been UFO sightings in this area, according to Rory, for thousands of years. It's considered sacred by Native Americans, the Chumash and the Salinans. When Rory and his crew dove in this area, they captured video of rock formations on the seafloor that seemed like they had been cut with precision. In this same area, they took a remote-operated vehicle, or an ROV, so that they could go deeper than they were able to physically dive. While they were in the middle of doing this, they saw a bright, spherical, multicolored UAP. It appeared above their ship, and they were able to capture it on camera. It was silent and very fast-moving. They also took images on their sonar over a sandy plain on the seafloor. They determined whatever this was, it was something artificial. And I do have a picture of this. This will be on the Instagram page and in the video formats for this episode. They thought this might be a large plane. It was over 100 feet long and 30 to 40 feet wide. Then, this is completely insane, while everyone was asleep, they actually captured one of these same spherical multicolored objects dropping from the air slowly and silently into the water. It's absolutely horrifying. I saw this video in Investigation Alien. It's episode 4. So I made a little recording on my phone. So if you see like a little reflection, that's because it's my TV screen. But I will play that for you guys now so that you can see it, because my jaw was literally on the floor when I watched this video.
Don't tell me it's gonna go in the water. Now it's in the water. Oh, be damned. So this is what it does when it thinks nobody's watching. Have you ever seen anything like this? A Willie Peter flare is the only thing that I know that will hang like that in the air, but that's not a flare because there's no smoke coming off of it.
So in the video, you see a small, white, spherical ball of light slowly and silently dropping into the water, and then it sits underneath the water for several minutes, creating the same type of reflection you would get if you had, like, the lights on in your pool. That's the best way I can describe it. Paranormal researcher Johnny Enoch has also done a lot of research into UFOs, including in this area of California. Using satellite imagery, Johnny has also found what he believes is an abandoned extraterrestrial structure in the Pacific Ocean off the California coast. This area is near Malibu and Catalina Island. The structure sits 2,000 feet below the surface. So my understanding is no one has been able to, you know, like dive here, obviously. It's way too deep. But they were able to get these Google Earth images, and no one can figure out what the hell this thing is. It's oval in shape, and it appears to be 2.5 to 3 meters wide with pillars. Johnny believes this is evidence of an ancient alien civilization, and it has become known as Sycamore Knoll. He's also done research in Alaska, which we'll talk about towards the end of this episode. Fueling the conspiracy fire for this underwater alien civilization, these images were once available on Google Earth, and then they were mysteriously wiped for whatever reason in 2025. The National UFO Reporting Center has also received many reports of mysterious objects flying over this exact area, including some reports of a mysterious craft emerging from the ocean. One eyewitness said, quote, "It looked like a massive cathedral-shaped structure, multiple pointed edges, all glowing, brilliantly white, heading straight into the ocean. There was no splash, no sound, just a flash, and it was gone. It happened so fast, like a giant ship or object vanishing beneath the surface in an instant." So if this thing that they captured on Google Earth is some type of civilization, my question is it also a ship? Is that what this person saw? Or is this a ship that, like, went inside and stays in this civilization? Very mysterious and strange. I really don't know what to think about it. So next we are heading to Mexico, where television journalist George Knapp is doing his investigation, the guy who's been teaming up with Rory Kremer. He met up with this guy named Juan Carlos, a respected local and ufologist. Juan told George that locals had been spotting USOs all along the Gulf of Mexico in places like Tampico, the Tamaulipas, and Miramar Beach. Some Tampico locals even believe these objects are actually protecting them from storms, claiming they have not had hurricanes in Tampico over the last 50 years. According to Juan, these claims can be verified through reports made way back in 1967 from the Sol de Tampico newspaper. In this newspaper article, they reported a fleet of UFOs that appeared mysteriously during a hurricane and seemed to be moving the cyclone away from the area. Some witnesses have even claimed to see humanoid beings walking along the beach. One witness interviewed an investigation alien said his first experience was in 2017. He saw a silent fleet of seven glowing blue spherical UFOs near the water. This witness said the fleet was flying in a delta formation or a V shape. So Juan Carlos believes, similar to California, that there is an alien civilization living in these waters, and that this is a hot spot for alien activity because the water here is rich with minerals that they want. Some people also believe the aliens are extracting minerals from the water and somehow using this as a propellant for their ships, or perhaps hydrogen. With this theory, ufologists have also suggested the water helps them propel faster, and they may even be traveling through some type of underwater portal or wormholes. Some older US and Soviet encounters have reported instances where these USOs were traveling under the water at hundreds of miles per hour, sometimes upwards of 600 to 700 miles per hour. I even read some reports and watched a couple of videos where these ufologists are claiming they've talked to people or read reports where there were these sightings of USOs traveling under the water that were moving faster than the speed of sound. However, a local meteorologist named Amelia Avalos has a totally different theory. Amelia believes that it's the currents in this area that are pushing the hurricanes away. She says that the currents don't allow the warm water of the Gulf to enter the area, that the barrier is natural, not paranormal. But even Amelia attested to the fact that the minerals in the water there are energetic and have a mysterious magnetic property. These magnetic properties are interesting, considering other famous stories of alien activity in water. The Bermuda Triangle, for example, has a lot of reports of compasses going crazy, ships and planes vanishing seemingly into thin air, and a UFO sighting over the USS John F. Kennedy in 1971. In this sighting, the crew saw a large glowing sphere over 200 feet wide. So George Knapp is continuing his investigation with Juan Carlos in Mexico, and they ended up meeting up with a fisherman captain named Paco. Paco agreed to take them out on the water to the same area where his boat had nearly been pulled under the water by some type of USO. Paco says that he was about 45 miles off the coast fishing at night with some men, including his brother. They stopped to take a break and eat, when a giant circular light suddenly appeared in the water underneath their ship. Then, this unseen force began to drag them backward by the ship's anchor, slowly, for about 20 meters. Paco was so terrified, the whole crew's freaking out, and he runs to the back of the ship with his knife, he cuts the anchor, and then they were able to take off. He knew that this could not have been a submarine because this object was way too large and it was circular like a massive ring. Paco says whatever this thing was, it almost capsized his boat. And anchors aren't cheap, so for someone to be so terrified that they're ditching their anchor, I think at the very least this points to the fact that this guy saw something that deeply frightened him. After George finished his investigation, him and his team analyzed their data from this area in Tampico, and they did find some unusual readings from their magnetometer that they couldn't explain. There were some negative peaks that they said usually come from cylindrical stationary objects. Sounds like a freaking spaceship to me. They also said, though, that this could be a large pocket of magnetic sand or a ship. There are many other sightings all around the world, but our last stop for today's episode is Alaska. Alaska has 95,000 square miles of ocean in some of the deepest waters, with depths of up to 26,000 feet. Johnny Enoch, a paranormal researcher, says according to his sources, there is an alien civilization under the water off the coast of Alaska. So, like, how many of these things could there be? And also, if they're going to be anywhere, it makes sense that they would be in Alaska because it's so remote and the waters here are insanely deep. Like, what a good place to hide, you know? UFO researcher Jeremy Ray says the U.S. Navy has known about USOs for a long time, and some of the earliest reports came from Alaska. In March of 1971, USS Trepang was testing weapons in the Arctic when a UFO was reportedly sighted coming out of the sea. The object was like a massive craft. It hovered long enough for the men to capture pictures of it. Then, according to the reports, the object fully lifted out of the water, turned sideways, and took off quickly. These photographs were leaked online, and no one has come forward to debunk them. And I have the pictures, people. I feel like that never happens. You always hear like, oh, they got pictures, and then they're either extremely blurry or they're nowhere to be found. But there are four pictures that allegedly, okay, were taken from the USS Trepang. So those will also be on the Instagram post and then the YouTube video, and they're quite clear. No one's been able to debunk them. They are pretty crazy looking, so definitely go check them out. It's a large craft just floating in the water, and then there's some pictures where you can see it coming out of the water. In 1969, Dan Willis was serving in naval communications as an operator when he had a UFO experience. He came forward years later to tell this story. While he was working, he received a message through a Morse code channel from a ship off the coast of Alaska. The crew of the ship had just seen a reddish-orange elliptical object approximately 70 feet wide that shot up out of the ocean up into the sky. The radar operator tracked the object going at over 7,000 miles per hour. So imagine being Dan and being in this tiny little office and you're slowly transcribing this Morse code message and this is what the message says. Like, I would be freaking out. But here's the thing. Back then, reporting a UFO sighting was actually a crime if you were a U.S. serviceman because of the 1953 Espionage Act. Dan seriously considered making a copy of the report or saying something, but he knew he could face years in prison. So instead, he says he told his superiors, who then passed it on to the highest ranks in the U.S. Navy. But nothing happened. And according to Dan, this report got buried. But this whole thing obviously really stuck with Dan, and he wanted to learn what other reports had been coming out of Alaska. So he started digging, and he soon found other reports, going back to the summer of 1945. An Army transporter ship, the U.S. Delaroff, was going past Adak, one of the Aleutian Islands off the southwestern Alaska coast, when suddenly a crew member spotted ripples in the water about a mile from their ship. Then this crew member saw a large, round object silently emerge from the sea. They estimated the object was between 150 and 200 feet wide. This thing is absolutely massive. The object then circled the boat a couple of times. This lasted for several minutes, and it made everyone uneasy. It was as if this object was taunting the crew. The object was in the range of their guns, but the men were so terrified they didn't dare fire. They were worried that it would provoke an attack that they were not prepared for. All 14 members of the crew witnessed this, and they signed a summary of their findings. They then submitted their report to their higher-ups when they got back to shore. But just like the 1969 event, nothing seemed to happen with this information. A lot of the sightings in Alaska have happened throughout Anchorage and off this area known as Smitty's Cove, 60 miles away. Locals have reported thousands and thousands of unrecognizable ships in these waters. One resident, Beverly Waltz, claims that she saw these ships one evening when she was just looking out her window. At first, she thought she was seeing strange lights shooting out of the water. But then when she grabbed her binoculars, she realized these were spaceships. She said they slowly floated up into the sky, then they would suddenly shoot off at this incredibly fast speed up into space. Debbie Ziegelmeyer, director of underwater research for MUFON, has also spent a lot of time researching Alaska. Off the coast of Anchorage, she found some intriguing satellite images. She described her findings as interesting lines almost like roadways, some type of structure, almost underwater highways, and rocks alongside that look out of place. Debbie's also bought into the theory that aliens are using hydrogen from the water as a way to propel their ships. She did investigate Smitty's Cove, diving into the frigid waters with a diving instructor, but she didn't find anything. But does that mean that they don't exist? Or does it just mean that these things know how to go undetected when they want to?
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And finally, when you research USOs, you will often come across this alleged 4chan leak. On April 25th, 2023, an anonymous user posted on 4chan, an anonymous online bulletin board similar to Reddit. The user claimed to be a government whistleblower with insider access. The link to this entire thread will be in the show notes. It's an Adobe file. It's over 100 pages, so I'm just going to briefly summarize, but it's pretty interesting. So their initial post reads, "I have intimate knowledge of what the U.S. currently knows about UFOs minus the last 2 years. UFOs are primarily unmanned drones. UFOs are created by a mobile construction facility that hides in the ocean. The construction facility destroys anything that comes close to it and will disappear for days when approached aggressively. The U.S. believes the facility has been active on Earth for at least 100 years or much longer. Fire away on questions, I'll answer what I can. You won't be disappointed." The user later goes on to say, "The underwater alien base has been around since at least 4000 BC, and it's able to move around as needed to avoid detection. The base is located in the Atlantic Ocean near the Bermuda Triangle. The base will destroy any unauthorized craft that gets too close. They also claimed this whole operation was being carried out by AI. I also made a Reddit post on the paranormal subreddit just to see if I could get any responses. I simply asked, has anyone ever had a UFO experience on or near the water? And I did get a couple of responses. User Cuddly Mofo said he was on Lake Michigan late at night with his uncle when he was a kid. They both saw red lights on the water. Then a pill shape about the size of an average person, all white with red lights, lifted out of the water. It took off straight up, making no sound. Later in his life, this poster said his daughter thinks this could have been some type of escape pod, but he always thought it was something from the Great Lakes Naval Base. He has no explanation for what he saw or why this object was so silent. User Broke Boy Rich commented, "When they were in high school, they saw a rapidly flashing light move across the night sky extremely fast before suddenly stopping and spiraling down silently into the Pacific Ocean, about 20 miles south of San Francisco. They were also with a group of people when this happened, and they said multiple other people witnessed it." And finally, user Jumpy-Expression1293 says they saw something off the coast of Oregon 2 years ago. Three lights hovering silently above the ocean. They then dropped into the water without a splash. All of these reports from all around the world, going back arguably to indigenous tribes. And still, there's so many questions. Do you guys think these objects are coming and going as they please, or do you think they've been here all along? And why do you think they're going in the water? Is it so they can avoid detection? Is it for these mineral resources? Is it some type of underwater highway that allows these things to enter and leave from all over? And who is making these things? Are they aliens? Is it some type of military technology? One thing is certain. Whoever or whatever is traveling through our waters is certainly perplexing. And that, everybody, is today's episode all about underwater aliens. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it wasn't too unhinged for you. I just thought this was such an interesting topic, and there's so many sightings all over the world, so I figured, why not? If you enjoyed today's episode, let me know, and let me know your thoughts down below. Again, there's just so many questions, so I want to know what you guys think. And as always, you can support the show. It's super helpful to interact wherever you're watching or listening. Leave me 5 stars, please. And you can always join the Perplexed Society. That's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. There's early and ad-free episodes on there every single week. And there is tons and tons of bonus content. More than you're going to know what to do with. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. Have your camera ready if you are ever on the ocean at night. And I will talk to you next week. Bye. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. The show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Editing is by myself and Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. If you want ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, you can always join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. If you have a topic request or a listener story, you can always submit those to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Business inquiries can be sent via email. Additional support links along with merch can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.